Thanks very much, Richard. Thanks to CETA for the invitation to be here today. It's a real pleasure to present and to talk to CETA Group again. I have to say, the last time I was here presenting was back in 2004 when I was CEO of Jetstar. A very different environment at the time. Jetstar just started, and we were just talking about all of the potential of that business. I think we had 14 aircraft at the time, and now it's a great pleasure to be back to talk about the entire Qantas Group and want to give people an update on where we are in the current crisis, as Richard says, but what we believe is the future direction of the business. And I want to start by saying a stark reality about the current crisis, and that the current global downturn for us is the worst crisis we've seen in the aviation industry. I've been working in aviation now for 21 years, and this environment is the worst that I've ever seen, and it gives the airline business generally an unbelievable challenge. We are seeing leading airlines like Singapore Airlines, Cathay Pacific, KLM, Air France, Lufthansa, all losing money in the last quarter. The March quarter in particular was extremely challenging for the aviation industry. British Airways reported their first loss since 2002, and they've lost over £400 million in the last financial year, £300 million in the last quarter. We've seen losses throughout the industry. Even stalwarts of the industry like Lufthansa have lost over €200 million in the last quarter. Over the past 15 months, we've seen over 40 airlines go out of business. And I think over the next year, the forecast is for a lot more airlines to go out of business. A Qantas is not immune from the downturn. In April, we revised downwards our profit outlook for the second time this year to a forecast profit of between 100 and 200 million. That will mean for the second half of the year, we will have a loss for the first time since the SARS crisis in 2003. It's not unique or not surprising given the general state of the global industry, but we have to act to make sure that Qantas maintains its strength during this environment. And we are making hard decisions. We have taken capacity out of the marketplace. Group capacity will reduce by 5% in the year ahead. We've parked aircraft. We've now grounded 10 aircraft for this year, and we have those aircraft available for sale. Last year, we removed 22 aircraft from the planned capacity of the airline's operations to cope with the changing demand environment. We've also deferred aircraft orders and frozen capital expenditure. The new aircraft that we have on order in terms of aircraft like the 380, we have three aircraft operating at the moment. We take another three aircraft this year, but we've delayed the delivery of four aircraft that were due to be delivered in the next year. Delayed delivery of 12 737-800s and deferred nearly $1 billion in capital expenditure between this year and next year. Given the current environment we're in, we think they are sensible moves and are a necessity given the operating environment. We're also reducing labour costs using tools like part-time work, job sharing, and leave-taking to minimise the amount of job losses wherever we can. The organisation is going through a major restructuring at the moment in order for us to be a leaner, flatter organisation, and I'll talk about that in a bit more detail. We do not have the strength of or some of the advantages that some of our competitors enjoy. We are not government-owned. Our activities do not form part of a national agenda, and Australia is not an aviation hub. But Qantas does have strengths in other areas that we believe allow us to compete on some of the unlevel playing fields that are out there, including the fact that we believe we have the world's best airlines in their categories in terms of Qantas and Jetstar. Now, I say that because we do believe that is unique in having a full-service and a low-cost carrier that work together and actively strengthen the group. In the Skytrax Awards, for the best customer service in each of those categories, for the last 6 years, Qantas has been in the top six carriers. Last year, I could have said we were in the top five, but unfortunately, we dropped to number six this year because of the industrial relations dispute that occurred last year. Jetstar, in the 5 years of its existence, has had 3 years in the top five low-cost carriers in the world. In one of those years, it won the world's best low-cost carrier. Not bad for a new kid on the block. That gives us an advantage in how we leverage both brands, how we leverage the capacity, and it gives us the ability to match the offerings, to meet and stimulate customer demand, and for us to manage the different environments that we're experiencing. We have maintained a strong balance sheet and an investment-grade credit rating. There are only three airlines in the world that have an investment-grade credit rating: Qantas, Lufthansa, and Southwest Airlines. That gives you a good indication of the position, the strength of the company, when you consider all of the names that aren't on that list. We have strong liquidity with now more than $3 billion in cash, and we've successfully gone to the market to raise more funds this year in order to make sure that our cash balances are strong going into the current environment. And again, if you look at a lot of the results of the airlines that we talked about earlier, most airlines have burned through a lot of cash in the last year. We had to be in a position where we protect and build up our cash balance to be in a strong position to get through this current environment. And we now have financing facilities in place to cover all aircraft purchases and all of our obligations on aircraft purchases until October 2010, which gives us certainty about what the funding of our operation will be going forward. So we're well prepared for if the economic glimmers of hope, as Richard outlined, are a false dawn and that this crisis extends for some time, because we've prepared ourselves for that eventuality. And it's important to talk about that because I fundamentally believe that in this current uncertain world that you cannot have a definitive plan and you cannot have a position where you're committed to absolutely. I used to joke that you get 10 economists in the room, you get 10 different opinions on what the outlook is going to be. I think today if you've got 10 economists in the room, you probably get 15 different opinions of what the environment is going to be. Now that means the companies that do well have the flexibility and the capability to cope with a number of different scenarios, both on the positive and the negative side. And Qantas has always had the ability to be able to adapt to the changing environment. I think, as Richard said, you know, we're in an industry that bears the brunt of a lot of the changes around the world. When things happen, the aviation industry is one of the first to experience it, and that means we've had to be adaptable in the past. For a carrier that's operated for 90 years, having that ability to adapt has become part of our DNA, and it's a critical part of our DNA. Well, where are our businesses today? And we talk a lot about the portfolio of assets that we have. We have a number of different businesses that are performing differently in this current environment. Our premium business, our long-haul international business, is taking the brunt of the downturn. Not surprising when you consider the results we talked about relative to the other airlines. We're seeing on some of our markets premium demand drop by 20 to 30%. This is a unique environment because it's one of the first times that we've seen a lot of our major markets go into recession simultaneously. The IMF have the world economy in recession for the first time since World War II. Usually in the past, when Qantas of service to LA were losing money, we had our services to the UK or Japan making money. Unfortunately, in the current environment, the UK is loss-making, the US is loss-making, and a lot of our Asian operations in the premium markets are loss-making. Now, for us, our domestic market and Qantas Link is still performing solidly and is still making a profit, and that comes part of the strength of the portfolio. And Jetstar is probably one of the shining stars at the moment, given its performance this year will probably be better than last year. That's a great performance in the current environment and shows the strength of having these two brands. We've also made good efforts in relaunching and developing our frequent flyer program. Our frequent flyer program, in my mind, was a little bit of a gem that was hidden in the cellar for a long time. We've taken it out. We've put management focused on him, Simon Hickey and his team, and it's developed again into a bit of a shining star. And frequent flyers for us will make a big contribution to our results this year. We now have 5.5 million members and over 400 partners. I've been asking this around the place, and I have to say here, how many people here are members of the Qantas Frequent Flyer scheme? Hands up. Most of the room. Can I ask another question? How many people here are either members of the Frequent Flyer scheme or shop at Woolworths as well, one or the other? Shop at Woolworths, hands up. Because that makes, this year we're going to launch in the middle of the year a big partnership with Woolworths. The partnership will mean that shopping for groceries at Woolworths will earn you frequent flyer points. You can double dip and earn frequent flyer points on your credit card and frequent flyer points on your groceries. We think that, and you get free membership of the Qantas Frequent Flyer scheme if you're an everyday rewards member at Woolworths. That will conservatively take the membership of a program from 5.5 million members to over 7 million members. And it'll mean that, and we've seen by the hands in this room, and maybe not representative of every household, but we believe that over 50% of all households in Australia will have membership of the Qantas Frequent Flyer scheme. That makes us one of the leading loyalty programs of any home country in the world and gives us a strong position in terms of to build that business going forward. Our freight business is unfortunately suffering again in the current environment. Freight is one of the leading parts of our business that suffers badly when the downturn happens, and it's one of the first businesses to recover when the upturn occurs. And we're seeing some strength out of the Chinese market in recent times, which may be a good sign, and some of those buds of hope or whatever Richard was calling them earlier that might be occurring. So ours is a portfolio business. We really are the Qantas Group. And it means that for us to have that diversity gives us strength that some of our competition doesn't have and allows us, I believe, to weather the storm better than a lot of airlines. For us, though, business stress certainly drives short-term challenge. But we need to focus and not be distracted from a long-term vision of where we want to take Qantas. And I believe that vision should be to have one of the world's best premium and low-cost airlines able to deliver on behalf of shareholders. And we will achieve this by ensuring that Qantas and the Jetstar brands remain strong. Any research we do each month shows the relative strength of each of the brands. Because if I was to ask 100 people who has the lowest fares in Australia, the vast majority will say Jetstar. If I was asked 100 people who is the best business airline in Australia, the vast majority will say Qantas. That's a unique position with two very complementary brands that work well together, and it's something we need to continue to build on. We also need to match the right aircraft with the right configurations to the right routes. And unfortunately, you know, as times change, configurations on some of our aircraft were developed and designed for the best of times. And with the premium market shrinking, we have some of the classes not configured right for the current environment. So you've probably seen in the press over the last few days, we've made some what we call cosmetic changes to our configurations to be able to cope with that. It is an issue when you consider the lead times involved in this business, because the 380s, which arrived last September, were ordered by James Strong, the CEO before Jeff Dixon, and in Jeff Dixon's last month, he saw the aircraft arrive. So the lead times that we have in making decisions and for them to bear fruit on the business are extremely long. So I'll be probably ordering aircraft that the CEO, after I leave and after he leaves, takes delivery of. So underpinning all of this, which we have as our number one priority, is safety for all of the group. And that is always something that Qantas takes as its top priority, no matter what. In terms of our customers, our goal is nothing short of excellence. Qantas has invested $1.7 billion in new product over the last 5 years. That's on lounges, aircraft interiors. It's not on the absolute cost of the aircraft, but just the product around the aircraft. That's an amazing investment, $1.7 billion. All our executives and around 20,000 staff are being trained through our new Centre of Service Excellence, a $10 million centre based in Sydney, to focus in on customer service training around the entire business. I went on that course a month ago, and I was absolutely amazed at the passion and the commitment of our frontline staff to the Qantas product, the Qantas service, and making sure that they make a difference. But we haven't forgotten about the basics as well. One of the most important things that an airline can deliver on, particularly a business airline, is on-time performance. And last year, we did drop the ball a bit on this. Our on-time performance during the industrial relations dispute dropped to the lowest levels in our history. That did upset a lot of customers, and I have apologized and continue to apologize for what took place last year and the disruption it caused. But so far this year, we've seen a dramatic recovery on where the airline's operation has been. We now have an average of 88% of our Qantas domestic flights are on time. We've seen our on-time performance go back to pre-dispute levels, and 6 of the last 7 months, Qantas Airlines has beat its major domestic competitor in terms of on-time performance. So our on-time performance is back to where it needs to be. In fact, our Qantas' international on-time performance has been steadily improving since that dispute, and we're now on track to have our best monthly performance for 6 years. The operation is back to where it needs to be in terms of the basics. And what is really good is all of this is coming together to show levels of customer satisfaction with Qantas in 2009. They're now the highest levels that we've seen in our monthly research for 5 years. That means that the investment the company is making is paying off some dividends, and that is very important for our future growth and our future prosperity. But operating efficiency is also essential, and we know that our competitiveness depends on achieving the maximum operating efficiency in the organization. And we are looking at a number of different areas to deliver on this. First of all, we're looking at how we become a flatter and faster organization. We started an exercise 3 months ago which looked at the entire business, and we mapped out the entire organization. We had a room in Mascot, in our head office, and up on all the walls, we mapped every single organization chart around the company. It was like mapping the world and finding continents you didn't know existed. We found islands that had become independent republics, and we found a huge amount of duplication around the organization. We discovered that there were over 200 people with strategy and business improvement in their titles. And it gave us an opportunity to say, how do we change this organization to become a flatter, faster moving, an organization that had a greater ability to cope with the environment? We found that there were 10 layers of management between myself and the front line in an area like IT. 10 layers. So it was a great opportunity for us to redesign and restructure the organization. And we've since, as a consequence of that, reduced our senior management numbers by 90. We've removed, in the process of removing, 500 more management level positions from around the organisation, because we believe that there is an advantage to making the organisation faster moving, to simplify and streamline our processes across the organisation, and to invest more of that saving back into good customer service and a customer focus. We're also modifying segmentation. Segmentation for us was a very important objective. It gave a clear focus to a number of businesses as real businesses, gave management and the staff the ability to associate with them and deliver on really good results. Jetstar is a great example of that, where the business has gone from strength to strength because the management there have taken ownership of it, been delivered on what they needed to do, and taken a passion for their business. Frequent Flyer has done the same. But we did, in segmentation, create businesses that weren't real businesses. Our engineering division was structured as a separate business from Qantas Airlines. So what happened? We had the engineering division creating and hiring a set of accountants to charge Qantas for the service provided. Qantas then hired a lot of accountants to check the bills. The engineering division then had a marketing department to go off and try and get new customers. Those customers usually were loss-making customers and made the operation even worse. And over all of this, we were recruiting management to manage the whole environment. So what we've done in the case of Qantas Engineering, as an example, is reintegrate it back into Qantas Airlines. It's a department, and we've moved back through a traditional airline structure for Qantas Airlines, with accountability and drive for a complete P&L, which we think is more representative of that segment. We're also driving internal efficiencies through other areas. We believe that, again, we can energetically pursue back-of-house efficiencies across the company, and we can invest in outstanding product and services from our customer, again, by redirecting that investment. Take an example of this is information technology. Qantas spends 3.5% of its revenue annually on IT. Jetstar spends less than 1% on IT. It's probably more dependent on IT and has better customer satisfaction with its IT systems. Now, we believe that we can get a lot more efficiencies over IT expenditures, and we are working with our suppliers. We are working to make sure that we have a more responsive culture with a high value of in-house critical systems and capabilities, but supplemented by outsourced services in order to deliver on that simplicity and productivity. And we can see that internal benchmark with Jetstar, because they have that simplicity and productivity, and it's something we need to adapt this part of the Qantas world to in order to get those significant hundreds of millions of dollars worth of efficiencies overall. We're also working with partners to get benefits, and we think this is a critical area for potential future savings for Qantas. We have a program in place to extend internal financial disciplines and process improvement right across the supply chain. And if you look at the value chain of the aviation industry, nearly every other part of the value chain makes a lot more returns and profits than the airline part. And that's something that we need to rebalance, because the airlines can't keep on funding other parts of the value chain as they have in the past. We've recently gone to all of our major suppliers across all parts of our business, IT, telecommunication vendors, airport providers, providers of uniforms, crew accommodation, engineering spare parts, and asked them to work with us on driving costs down and sharing the benefits. We are working on a series of mini projects challenging ourselves and our suppliers to find process efficiencies that really enhance the quality of our business. And we believe there are potentially, the potential is amazing in this area. We're also one of the areas that we think we have a leading role to play is on our reputation and the ability of acquiring aircraft. We are seen as one of the market leaders in the acquisition of aircraft as a global buyer. In a month's time, Qantas celebrates the 50th anniversary of the arrival of our first jet, the Boeing 707. People probably see it occasionally when John Travolta comes in. It's still in Qantas colours. It is an amazing history that we were the first non-American customer for the plane, and it did signal a new era of travel and did change the aviation industry. It's amazing when this technology comes along, because it's an opportunity for the aviation industry to change the basis of its business, and it nearly happens every decade. Half a century later, Qantas remains an influential aircraft buyer whose purchase decisions can and do lead the broader market. Our approach is to continue an appetite for innovation and rigorous technical reviews and careful commercial arrangements to give us maximum flexibility. We've done that with the delivery of the A380s, where we're the second largest customer of that aircraft. And we've done that with the Boeing 787s, where we're the largest airline customer of the delivery of that aircraft. And during this downtime, our relationships with that major aircraft suppliers have allowed us to enter into constructive dialogue about purchase deferrals. And we have, as I mentioned earlier, deferred both Airbus and Boeing aircraft to help and benefit the airline through this period of time. And I think ultimately will benefit the manufacturers. But our fleet renewal policy program does continue. We have $19.2 billion of aircraft on order to take delivery of over the next 10 years. $19.2 billion. It's a huge commitment. It's a commitment that we believe we have to do. If we don't, you get into the vicious circle that the American carriers have of operating 30, 40-year-old aircraft, and that's something that Qantas won't go to, because we believe that renewal is a very important part of our strategic vision of being one of the world's best premium carriers. Our fleet will progressively become younger, greener, more efficient, and easier to maintain, and will offer the latest generation in in-flight product for our customers. The reaction we're getting to the 380 aircraft has been amazing. Has anybody been on the aircraft? A show of hands. We've got a few here. The customer reaction that we're getting is the best that we've seen from any product that we've introduced. It's certainly a step change in the aviation industry, and it's something that we're very positive about. So we are using our purchasing strategies overall to maintain and manage our position in this downturn, while paving the way for us in terms of our long-term success and making sure that we continue with the commitment to renew and invest in Qantas. We are looking at airports as another area of partnership and potential area that has to come to the party in terms of saving. Qantas pays more than $700 million each year in airport charges, property costs, licenses, and staff car parking. The larger Australian airports generate massive returns from their non-aviation revenues, like car parking, duty-free sales, and retail outlets. But of course, these revenues depend on airlines enticing customers to the airports. Now, like other airlines, we're massively discounting airfares, particularly internationally, and I believe that those airfares are not sustainable in the long term. But these prices are keeping customers buzzing through the airport terminals. We do need airports to become partners with the airlines to reduce overall costs. And we are in a position where we have limited leverage, given that most of these airports have a monopoly advantage. Of course, we appreciate that many airports, particularly privatized airports, have big capital burdens which require servicing. But we also understand that the capital environment from where we come from can have long lead times and can be challenging in the current environment. But we do believe that constructive discussions with airport partners are a necessity for the success of both parties going forward. The Gold Coast Airport is an example of where the owners have worked hard with us to develop a strong and cost-effective cost base for Jetstar's international operations. I think it's an example of a very strong partnership that benefits both entities going forward. They've been very responsive and sensible about keeping operating costs low because they can see the long-term benefits to their business. Recently, Melbourne Airport has also been very proactive, working with us to reduce the cost of our operations. However, so far, no major airport has agreed to lower its charges in an effort to cooperatively stimulate passenger demand. Worse, we are still getting proposals to increase leasing and staff car parking costs that are quite significant. Qantas, and for that matter, other airlines around the world operate with relatively low operating margins. Contrast that with the operating margins of the largest Australian airports. 67% for Sydney Airport, 71% for Melbourne Airport, 65% for Brisbane Airport. You won't be surprised to hear that these three are ranked in the top five airports in the world as measured by operating margin. In fact, if you include Auckland, four out of the top five highest margin airports in the world form a significant part of Qantas's group network. We believe that airports can act in terms of reducing its costs. And around the world, in other international airports, like Frankfurt Hahn, Malaysian airports, Singapore, and Hong Kong, they are all voluntarily reducing their airport charges in an effort to support their airline customers and stimulate demand. Sydney in particular is an issue for us. It's our home base and gateway to Australia and the business airport. But then there's also Brisbane, which has imposed a 30% increase in domestic charges on Jetstar. We are in discussions now with Sydney and Brisbane airports about offsetting and helping us in the spirit of mutual benefit in order to make sure that we can positively plan for the future. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that once noted, we must all hang together, or assuredly, we shall all hang separately. I'm confident that we'll get a successful outcome with the airports going forward. The downturn is tough, but one thing that we know is that Australians still love to travel. They have responded eagerly to the changes in airfares and the discounting that has occurred, and they will be ready to pack the bags, I'm sure, when the upturn does occur. And I have no doubt that Victoria and Melbourne will continue to be a successful tourism destination. We were talking earlier at the table because I think that Melbourne and Victoria has done a massive, wonderful job in developing attractions here in entertainment, sport, education and culture. And some other states could learn from the developments that have taken place here. On the weekend, I came back to Melbourne to support Michael Long's long walk to Dreamtime at the G and stayed for the Indigenous Round match between Richmond and Essendon. Finding that coming back to Melbourne at least once a month for an event, it's great to be able to see it. But that has really, I think, helped the tourism industry and the aviation industry. And a lot more needs to be done in other states to get to the same fantastic level that's here in Melbourne. I think the tourism industry in here should be rewarded for the fantastic development and the proactive nature of what they're doing going forward. I wanted to formally say that Qantas, from my perspective, is doing what it takes to make sure it succeeds in the future. And we are shaping, I believe, a distinctively Australian group that is globally competitive. We have an amazing brand, which the 34,000 people that work for Qantas today, are temporary custodians of, a brand that's been operating now for nearly 90 years. We have an amazing group of staff. As I go around the country and talk to the employees, I'm continuously amazed at their passion, their interest, their view of the brand, and their belief in Qantas. I think that gives us an extremely solid base for the airline's future. We're also an airline that, as I mentioned, has an amazing segmentation, amazing portfolio of businesses. We have real strength in our financial position today. And while the current environment is tough, the prospects for Qantas, I believe, with the upturn when it occurs, are extremely strong. And I believe that this business is well positioned, as it has been in the past, to cope with the crisis and to grow into the future and to be a strong brand for the next 90 years. Thank you very much for your time.